Hello, and welcome to the Bible 101 podcast. We hope you enjoy each episode filled with content all about the Bible. Join us in our Bible 101 series as we explore Genesis through Revelation. Also, listen to our roundtable discussions where we discuss major doctrinal themes throughout the Word of the Lord. We hope you also enjoy our Apostolic Apologetic series and interviews. If you have any questions, please email us at BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Leave a comment to let us know what you think. Thank you for listening. Hello, and welcome to the Bible 101 podcast. You're now listening to a series that's going to be called A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. This is a revamp of our Bible 101 series that we did a number of years ago. And because I've taught many Bible studies since then, I've kind of learned a little bit more about the process of teaching through the Word of the Lord. And I want to share some of these updates with you. So we're going to be walking through the Word of the Lord over the course of a number of weeks. And we're going to discuss the Old Testament first, and then we're going to get into the New Testament. But before we do that, we're going to give an overview of the Bible and talk about what the Bible is, the major divisions of the Bible, some of the books of the Bible. And so we're going to talk about a number of issues here in the first lesson. But before we begin, I want to start with a word of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to study the Word of the Lord. I'm asking that you would talk to us today, that you would give us understanding and revelation. God, lead us to that portion of the Word that would be of great benefit to us. Anoint our ears to hear you and anoint me as I teach. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin reading with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Most people today use their phone, but if you have a normal Bible, which I like to have a normal Bible in front of me, but for the sake of ease, I'm going to be using my tablet to teach from. But 2 Timothy is found in your New Testament. You can look in your table of contents. Obviously, it comes right after the book of 1 Timothy, and it comes before the book of Titus. Throughout the course of this series, feel free to pause the recording to find this portion of Scripture in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 says these words, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now, first of all, I want you to notice that before we read any further. All Scripture. When Paul wrote these words, the New Testament was not yet in full circulation. Some books had been written, but not all. And it had not all been circulated around the entire church yet, certainly not throughout the known world. So when he's writing all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's talking about the Old Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. In the Greek, it actually means God breathed, okay? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So notice what he says here. He says, all Scripture, speaking about the Old Testament, he says, is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine. Your Old Testament's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, in other words, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then the next verse says this, that the man of God, now I understand he's writing to preachers, but this could be speaking of anybody, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So I want you to notice that, throughly furnished, which means equipped unto all good works. Okay? Let's read another portion of Scripture. I want to go to the book of 2 Peter. So 2 Peter is just a little bit further on in your Bible. So after 2 Timothy, you got Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, and then 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 20 and 21 says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation or origin, in other words. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, not to sound redundant, but once again, the New Testament was not in full circulation when Peter wrote these words. Although at this point, many books had been written, He is speaking about the Old Testament. And he says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to read these two verses of Scripture in a different translation. Here it is in the New Living Translation, starting with verse number 20. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. So notice, once again, Peter is talking about the Old Testament, and he says that these men were not writing their own opinion. They were moved by the Holy Spirit as they wrote those words. So you can go to libraries today and see a number of books on the shelf written on a number of different subjects. What you're going to find out is you can pull two books side by side down off the shelf and check them out. They may be about the exact same subject, but there's going to be disagreements among them, even regarding historical events. But when it comes to the Word of the Lord, there's many different writers. The Old Testament alone has somewhere around 32 writers. But notice, there's really only one author, okay? When it comes to the New Testament, same thing. You've got a number of writers, but there's really only one author. All Scripture's given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Now, I want to read another verse of Scripture to you. Let's go to the book of John. So, in the New Testament, you got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you've got the book of John. It comes right before the book of Acts. In particular, I want to read verse number 5, and then we're going to read verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. This is going to be the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this will be in red letters, meaning Jesus spoke these words. This is what he says in John chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So here he's speaking to the Jews who profess to be professors in the Old Testament Scriptures. And he says, search the Scriptures. Those Scriptures you think you know so well, search them. In them you think you have eternal life, but if you'll really search them, they testify about me. So we certainly cannot throw away the Old Testament. Jesus said the Old Testament talks about him. Now, he further drives home this point in the book of Luke. So just flip back with me one book, and I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter number 24 and verse 44. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 44. Luke 24 and 44 says this, and he said unto them, meaning Jesus, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, notice that, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Notice what Jesus just said here. He said, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. So notice how he split the Old Testament up when he talked about it. He said, the law of Moses. What is the law of Moses? It's the first five books of your Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written by Moses. We'll get more into that a little bit later. And in the prophets, that is the entirety of the Old Testament prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Scholars have looked into this and said that basically Jesus validated the entirety of the Old Testament. And not only did he validate it, but he said that all things must be fulfilled, speaking about his own life, speaking about his mission, speaking about what he came to do. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms concerning me. And he says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So my point is, the New Testament affirms the Old Testament. Now, there's a lot of proof that the New Testament is the inspired Scriptures. So really, when it comes down to it, there are really only two books that claim to be inspired of God that have gained major traction throughout the years. There are a number of writings that have wise sayings in them, the writings of Confucius, the writings of, you know, of course, you've got Buddha and you've got different things like that. But really, it comes down to two books primarily. You've got the Quran and you've got the Holy Bible. Now, the difference between the two is the Quran is written by one man who claims he got a vision from the angel Gabriel that gave him the words to write in the Quran. But something that's kind of interesting about the Quran is obviously it's only written from one man's perspective, but it has many contradictions throughout it. And not only that, but they have what's called the satanic verses, which sometimes a satanic spirit got involved in the mind of Muhammad, they say, and you can look these things up for yourself, and kind of twisted him up, and there's what's called satanic verses written about in there. There's contradictory things written about. But when it comes to the Holy Bible, the scriptures, the word of the Lord, what you're going to find out is there's many different writers that come from many different backgrounds and many different educational perspectives. For instance, you've got men like Solomon, who was known as, outside of Jesus Christ, the wisest man that's ever walked the earth. You've got his writings. You've got the writings of Isaiah, who is known as a silver-tongued orator, beautiful writer, beautiful Hebrew poetry written throughout. You've got the writings of David, beautiful poetry, but then you've also got the writings of Amos, who was a simple farmer before the Lord called him to ministry. So in the New Testament, then, you've got the writings of Mark, which is a very simplified form of Greek. Mark was not a deeply, deeply educated man, although he was educated enough to write and to read, obviously. But then you've got the writings of Paul and of Luke. Some are fishermen, but when it comes to Luke and Paul, these are very educated men. Luke was a physician, and Paul was a very educated man that trained at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the wisest men in those days. So we as we look at the scriptures, one thing we need to understand is there's many different writers, but the reason why they're congruent, the reason why they line up, they match, and there's no contradiction in them, and it's not based upon just man's opinion, it's written by God. God breathed it and allowed men to pen his words. So as we approach the word of the Lord, let's not approach it just like any other book. Because if you approach it that way, you're not going to get anything from it, but approach it as the words of God, because that's exactly what it is. It is the word of the Lord. Okay, so that's the major thing I want to emphasize and get across. Before we ever begin our journey into the word of the Lord, we need to make sure that we are approaching this from the right perspective. It is the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to open your Bible to the Old Testament, and specifically, I want you to go to the table of contents in your Old Testament. Now, there's a lot of things I could say about the table of contents, but I want to just focus primarily on showing you how the Old Testament is set up. So turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to the table of contents, and we're going to talk about how that the Old Testament is set up. Specifically, for a number of weeks, we're going to be focusing on the Old Testament. So let's go there to your table of contents. Now, I mentioned earlier the fact that you've got the law of Moses coming first. So that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is what's known as the law of Moses. Remember, Jesus said all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And then he said this concerning me. Well, so these first five books were written by Moses. The book of Genesis is, the word Genesis means beginnings. It is the book of beginnings. It records the beginning of creation, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of sin, the beginning of the fall of man, the beginning of death, the beginning of birth, the beginning of human government, the beginning of the patriarchy, the beginning of Israel, on and on and on and on. It's called the book of beginnings for a reason. And then we get into the book of Exodus, which records the exodus of God's people, Israel, from the land of Egypt, from slavery and bondage, and they're coming out. And then also it begins on Mount Sinai, where it talks about God giving the law to Moses. That's why it's called the law of Moses. And so we got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. So it's kind of a re-emphasizing of portions of the law, also giving more specificity to the law of God that he gave to him on Mount Sinai. So then Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is the law of Moses. That's the first five books of your Old Testament. So remember that. First five books of your Old Testament is the law of Moses. By the way, don't worry if you can't remember this all. We're going to be re-emphasizing this week after week after week. So by the time we get through with all of these lessons, it'll certainly be clear to you. And then we have the book of Joshua, all the way through the book of Esther. These are known as the books of history. This records the coming into the land of Canaan and conquering the land of Canaan of Israel, and then so them renaming it after the tribes of Israel. And it also records the beginning of Kings, but then it also records how Israel turned away from God and began to worship false gods. God turned them over and allowed them to be taken captive. The northern kingdom was taken captive by Assyria, the southern kingdom by Babylon. Babylon became the dominant world power. And then Persia took over, and Cyrus, king of Persia, allowed the Jews to return to their homeland and to rebuild the temple. And he even gave them the materials to do it. And so some of these books were written during this period. Nehemiah, Ezra were definitely written during this period. Esther also was written during this period, although hers covers the Jews that stayed in Persia. And then after the books of history, we have the books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. These are known as the books of poetry, the books of poetry. These record beautiful poetry about the Lord, about life, about the difficulties of life. One thing I love about the scriptures is that it does not shy away from questions. Scriptures absolutely never shies away from questions. It asks questions such as, how long will you allow these things to happen to me, O Lord? Job is full of questions, okay? Both from man and from God. There's a lot of unanswered questions in the Old Testament as well. But one of the beauties is God does not shy away from our questions. He's not afraid of our questions. I've heard people say, you're not supposed to question God. Well, that might be true to certain degrees, but God is not afraid of our questions. And that's proven throughout these Psalms. By the way, Hebrew poetry is not written by English poetry. So English poetry, you have a lot of rhyming, but Hebrew poetry doesn't rhyme in word. A lot of times it rhymes in thought. And we'll get into that later as we study the Old Testament. Then we have all the way Isaiah through Malachi. These are the books of prophecy, the books of prophecy. So when Israel chose themselves a king, and after the kingship took over and some time went by, they began to turn away from God and to turn toward wickedness. As went the king, so went the nation. And God raised up prophets. And that's where the books of prophecy come in. And so what we find out is these prophets were raised up during this time, and they prophesy about a coming destruction if Israel does not repent. Some of these prophets prophesied during the return. Some of them prophesied during the exile. Some prophesied during the return from the exile. So it covers a lot of history. Malachi was written last, and it's also placed last in the Old Testament. Malachi was a final cry to Israel after they had returned to their homeland. They're starting to turn back to their wicked ways. They're offering God sacrifices that are blemished, and they're mistreating the wives of their youth, and on and on and on. And so God sends them a final warning, and then between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are 400 years of silence. We'll get into all that later, but let me remind you quickly a little bit. Let's just review what we've learned thus far. Okay, so the New Testament, inspired of God, it also validates the Old Testament. Well, another unique thing about the Bible, before we actually get into the Old Testament scriptures, is that it was written by most cases, eyewitnesses to the events. For instance, you got Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew was a tax collector who was called out by Jesus. He's affirmed in the other Gospels as well. Matthew wrote the gospel from first-hand recollections, first-hand accounts. He saw Jesus perform these miracles. He saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. He saw Jesus go through all the things he went through and raise the dead and heal the sick and teach. So he records large portions of Jesus' teaching. Mark, it's believed by many scholars that Mark interviewed Peter, and that's where he got the accounts from. So obviously an eyewitness. Then we got the book of Luke. Luke tells us that he interviewed, you can read in Luke chapter 1, verse number 1, it's written to a man by the name of Theophilus, who was some kind of a ruler. And Theophilus was a Gentile. Luke was a Gentile writing to a Gentile. And Luke tells him he wrote based upon interviews he did with eyewitnesses. So again, eyewitnesses. And then John, of course, was an eyewitness because he was a disciple. And so anyways, all of these gospels were written, they were eyewitness accounts. Also throughout the Old Testament, there are eyewitness accounts. Clearly Moses was there when the Exodus took place. He writes about it. Clearly Joshua was there when they conquered the land of Canaan. He writes about it. It's also 1st and 2nd Samuel. We could talk about many different things. The Old Testament books, many of them were written from eyewitness accounts. For instance, Nehemiah. I believe Nehemiah wrote his own book, firsthand account. Ezra, he wrote his own book, firsthand account. And on and on and on. The prophets, they wrote their own accounts, firsthand accounts, eyewitnesses to all of these things. So they weren't written long after the fact. Just to kind of go back for a second, the Quran speaks of events that he clearly had no idea about. For instance, Muhammad came along much after Jesus Christ, yet he writes about Jesus. And he says he did not die on the cross, even though all of history points toward Jesus' death on the cross, as testified by Josephus, who was a Jewish historian. So we're talking about extra-biblical literature here. Not only do we have well over 5,000 New Testament manuscripts of, you know, the different portions of Scripture in the New Testament that affirm, by the way, that's far more manuscripts than we have of any other work of history. But then on top of that, or ancient work of history, but then on top of that, it's the fact that, you know, Muhammad wants to testify and say that Jesus did not die on the cross, but he came along hundreds of years after Jesus, claims to have knowledge that Jesus actually didn't die on the cross, but it's affirmed by Josephus, the Jewish historian, who Josephus, by the way, was not a Christian. He was a Pharisee. He was also motivated by political aspirations. He was in league with the Romans, and he wrote of histories and of Roman history and different things and the fall of Jerusalem and all of that. So we get a lot of that information from Josephus. But also Tacitus, who was a Roman, affirmed that the Christians existed and that they worshipped Christ and that Christ was crucified. And then there are other affirmations of it as well. So here's the thing. We have not only biblical evidence, we have extra-biblical evidence of the life, of the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the New Testament affirms the Old Testament. So that's very, very important. So before we even get into the Scriptures, I want to build your faith in the Word of the Lord and tell you, you're not just approaching another book. Okay, this book claims to be inspired, and I want you to ask yourself the question, is it? That's a very good question. Because if it is not inspired of God, you must realize this, then clearly, if it's not inspired of God, it's written by maniacs. Because they claim to write under the inspiration of God. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. John 5:39, Luke 24:44. All of these scriptures are saying that that the Old Testament is God breathed. It's given by inspiration of God. Not only that, but over many times. And I don't have the exact figure in front of me. I want to say it's over 300 times, but it's probably more than that. You read, God said, the Lord said, God said, the Lord said. Why? Because it claims to be the words of God. It either is or it isn't. Well, I'll present to you, there's many different proofs for the word of the Lord, but one of the greatest proofs is experiential proof. It, over the centuries, people have tried to tear it down. Critics have tried to stop it. There was a Roman emperor by the name of Diocletian who did everything he possibly could to make sure that the word of the Lord was destroyed. He burned manuscript after manuscript after manuscript. He tortured Christians and killed them. Nero tortured Christians and killed them. He burned them as torches in the Olympic Games. Many different things. Paul, it's believed, was beheaded. Peter, it's believed, was crucified upside down. They did everything they could to stop the word of the Lord. And throughout the centuries, many Bibles have been burned, books have been destroyed, Guards have broken into churches and shot everybody in the place. They've tried to torture Christians. They've tried to persecute Christians. They've tried to do everything. They've tried to make it illegal to produce the Bible. And what do we have today? We have more Bibles than what we've ever had. You can go to the dollar store and buy a Bible. In fact, you can get a Bible for free in many places. They hand them out for free. They're printing them all over the place, many, many different ways. And men that have said, you know, the Bible would cease to exist, they've used their houses as printing presses for the Bible. Why? Because it is the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Peter said, the grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. The Bible will never be destroyed because it is the word of God. It claims to be, and the proof is in the pudding. Just to kind of use a simple little illustration here, some people may say, well, experiential proof isn't really proof. You know, somebody might say, well, I'm a Muslim because I had this experience, or I'm a Buddhist because I had this experience. And so that doesn't really mean anything. Well, while it is true that it can be somewhat subjective, you know, based upon the person's personal experience, I understand that. However, I will say this, that let's just say that a new restaurant moved into town and you were trying to decide whether or not to go to this restaurant. So you could talk to your friends about it and they could say, yeah, it's a great restaurant. Or one may say, no, it was a horrible restaurant. I'm telling you, whatever you do, don't go to this restaurant. It'd be a terrible thing for you to do. And then you go online and you start reading reviews. And one, as most of you know, when you read online reviews, some will say it's great. Others will say it's absolutely atrocious and terrible. And so you just don't know what to believe. So what are you supposed to believe? Well, here's what you do. You go. You go. Go to the restaurant and see if it meets up to the hype or if it meets up to the criticism. Go to it. See it. Taste the food for yourself. See if it's good. Look at the atmosphere for yourself. It's the same thing with the word of the Lord. It claims to be the word of the Lord, so either its principles work or they don't work. If it is the word of the Lord, the principles in the word of the Lord should work. And I'm here to testify, they do. The word of the Lord tells us that we can be saved. The word of the Lord tells us that if we're baptized, we can be forgiven of our sins, that we can have the experience of God's Spirit in our lives. The word of the Lord testifies that he still changes life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away, behold, the new is come. You can read all of these things, and it testifies about how that you can have a brand new life in Christ Jesus. And there are many, 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 many millions of people across the face of the earth testifying they've had that very experience with God. So, having said all of that, there's a lot of proof. There's been books that's been written about it. Some books that I might recommend to you is Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. Very good book. He used to be an atheist, but he went and began to try and see if there was actually evidence for the life of Jesus, for the word of the Lord being the word of the Lord. And he came away convinced, even though he approached it as a skeptic. Lee Strobel is another one. He's written The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for a Creator. These are all awesome books in and of themselves. I've read them myself. I can testify they're great books. Of course, Eat the Food, Spit Out the Sticks. There may be some things in there I disagree with. But, you know, be as smart as a duck. Eat the Food, Spit Out the Sticks. But then, you know, there's many other books that's been written. J. Warner Wallace wrote one called Cold Case Christianity. He was a cold case investigator, and he decided to apply some of the same methods he used in cold case investigation against the word of the Lord to see if it stacked up, and it did. And he came away convinced and became, a believer in Christ. So there's a lot of different things that I can say. There are evidences for the word of the Lord, but can I say this? The strongest evidence is just try it for yourself. So once again, as we approach the Old Testament, I want you to approach it not just as another book, but approach it for what it really truly is. It is the word of the Lord. In the next lesson, we're actually going to get into the Bible and start talking about what does the Bible say. We're going to talk about specifically the creation account in the book of Genesis. Let us pray in closing of this lesson. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to be able to study the word of the Lord. I thank you, God, for speaking to us today. I pray that you would minister to anybody that's listening to this, God, that they would receive grace and that they would receive mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ as they study your word, O God. Open their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us in the next lesson of A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. Thank you so much for listening.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening to the Bible 101 podcast. Please email us with any questions or let us know what you think at BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. Leave a comment to let us know what you think and maybe give us some ideas for future episodes. We hope you continue to listen.